So are you a thief? Have you ever been a thief? Would you consider yourself to be somebody who takes something without permission from somebody else, which rightly belongs to them? As children, most of us here would have been taught that stealing is wrong. When I was growing up, I remember my brother being involved in a heated conversation with my mum, debating as to whether popping my sister's snack into his bag was actually stealing, as it came from the same pantry. I've also been there when we've been out as a family picking strawberries to buy them, when several of those, a goodly amount of those strawberries, have found their way into our mouths, strangely enough. Is that stealing? The view that one shouldn't steal, however, is generally accepted as standard behaviour in the human race. And there's universal condemnation in society of burglaries, muggings and stealings. We're told even in Newcastle the crime rate has increased by 30% last year, which is very disturbing. So why do we steal? People steal in order to get more for themselves. If you've ever been the victim of a burglary or had your possessions or things stolen from somebody, or things that you've worked hard to buy, you know the intense feelings and emotions and resentment, hurt and disappointment that you feel. By now, I hope you've realised that this morning we're looking at the 8th of the 10 Commandments. From Exodus 20, you shall not steal. The readings we heard from Ephesians and from Luke help us to pinpoint our thoughts on this commandment and encourage us to really think about how Jesus wants us as Christians to behave with each other in the light of it. Many of us here possibly be feeling quite comfortable and content in thinking that's okay, she can't be talking to us, we don't steal. We don't steal things, some things in particular. I do suggest, though, that we do steal some things which we might not even have realised. We often do it without thinking. So let's think about it again. A stealing refers to a bit more than just taking somebody's property. Firstly, let's look at something which we may all be guilty of stealing, and that's time. The most precious commodity in our world. It's the one truly non-reversible resource. Once time is gone, it can never be reclaimed, recycled, or repeated. Time flies, we're told, whether we use it wisely or whether we waste it. Time waits for no one, stops for no one, slows down for no one. Are we guilty of being time thieves then? Do we arrive late for appointments? Take extra long breaks when we're working? Watch the clock instead of doing the job in hand? Do we allow enough time for each other's needs? For listening and helping practically, for example? Does our time spent praying or being with God become limited due to outside pressure or pressing human needs? I'd argue that time spent with others in prayer or fellowship is incredibly valuable. In general, it's a fact that people tend to want to do less, but get more from it. So how do we use our time? Kathleen Norris, in the book The Cloister Walk, suggests, in our culture, time can be seen as an enemy. It chews up and spits us out with appalling ease. The monastic perspective, however, welcomes time as a gift given from God, and seeks to put it to good use rather than allowing us to be used by it. A less known quote that was told to me by my granddad many years ago, he always said, "We're like suitcases. Our days are identical suitcases, all the same size. But some people can manage to pack in more than others." Let's make sure we pack our suitcases well this week. In our reading from Ephesians, Paul is encouraging Christians to live and to live a new and better lifestyle. He suggests that we should be able to make new the attitude of our minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in a true likeness of Him and holiness. Secondly, let's consider money in its various guises. There are many ways that we may be stealing in an indirect way. Are we guilty of not declaring all our income, for example, on a tax form? The Inland Revenue reported that there was between 5 and 11,000 million taken illegally from them per year. The Inland Revenue once received an anonymous letter. "I'm having trouble sleeping because of my conscience. Please find enclosed £100. If this doesn't cure my insomnia, I might send the rest." Maybe we've made a journey by bus without paying, or travelled on a train without going through the ticket barrier. Quotes for household repairs are often overpriced. Are we honest about returning cash when we're given too much change in the shop? We all need to use money wisely, but with integrity and with honesty, and everybody must play their part. Banks regularly break the eighth commandment by allowing people to run up large debt balances on accounts. Loans are offered at high rates of interest, and when the repayments can't be met, can cause much upset, distress, and destroy lives. Let us remember, as the evangelist Billy Graham once said, "There's nothing wrong with men possessing riches. The wrong comes when riches possess man." The Bible warns that money cannot buy happiness. Money can't buy true pleasure or peace of heart, and money certainly cannot buy your way into the kingdom of God. Once again, it appears in our culture today that people are often wanting to take rather than to give. But similar problems were occurring in Jesus' time too. In our second reading, for example, we came across the character of Zacchaeus, a tax collector for the occupying Romans in Jericho. Small, wealthy, probably corrupt, and certainly loathed by many of the ordinary people. Although he himself clearly had money, he was in fact an outcast. Zacchaeus did, however, as we know from the story and that lovely little song that we've all known for many years, find both love and acceptance from Jesus when Jesus invited himself for tea at his house. I wonder how we would react to that situation. A true sinner in the eyes of the people around, though. However, it was there, we're told, that Zacchaeus stood up, announced that he was going to give half his possessions to the poor, and that he would give back to all he'd cheated in the past, four times the amount that they had lost, proving himself to be genuine and wholeheartedly repentant. He was truly sorry for his actions, for the way in which he'd behaved, and wanted to do the best he could to put things right. It was through God's grace that by encountering Jesus, he was a changed man. In verse 10, we remind ourselves of those words, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The third thing that I'm going to mention that I think as Christians we need to be very careful of is not to steal a person's good name. Shakespeare said it well in those famous words from Othello, when he wasn't concerned about having his purse stolen, but said, "He that filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed." Often, idle gossip without true understanding of a situation about another person can lead their good name or their reputation to be damaged. It has the ability to destroy confidence, to undermine people. Help us, Lord, to love and respect each other. Nurturing and caring for others is really what God wants us to do. So concluding this morning, let's remember that the opposite of stealing is giving. Stealing is a sin, whichever way we do it, because it goes against loving our God and loving our neighbour. However, thieves are not out of the reach of God's grace or of having a relationship with Jesus. I think it's important to keep in mind that the Bible isn't full of stories of how good people go to heaven. It's more full of those sinners, just like us, who can humble themselves before God, love each other, and put our trust in Him, and can have a true relationship with our God. Amen.